What's up, everybody? This is Word of a Rebel, and it has been a minute since I recorded an episode, but it is definitely past due time, and this is definitely a topic that needs to be addressed. We need to talk about the reasons why, the raw reasons why, not the what you typically hear, the raw reasons why you need to be voting and how to make it simple for you to decide who to vote for, and the implications are dramatic for your health, your well-being, your pocketbook, as well as everybody connected to you and everybody that you know. So let's talk about it. The short and sweet version of it is that right now there are only two parties in existence that really have a lot of push and pull, and the deciding factor between them is, are you going to vote for the support of a sustainable community that actually authentically prepares for the needs of the community so that everyone has opportunity to improve and that we can all come up together from whatever point we are, we can continue to grow and achieve goals and have affluence and have good quality of life, that party, and the one that will do anything and everything to deregulate corporations, deregulate banks, deregulate healthcare, and have every one of us out here suffering and struggling because they don't see the benefits, the wealth benefits across the board for themselves and for everyone else of taking care of our nation. They only want to see us do bad as long as it means they get money. And in case you're not sure which one it is, I'm going to give it to you right now because some of you may not have a lot of time. Republicans don't care about anybody but their pocketbook. The Democrats actually care about protecting, sustaining, and growing our society for longevity, for current quality of life, and long-term into the future. The Republicans will tell their constituents that if other people are doing well, it must mean that the government's taking care of them. That's not the case. Now, if you've got the time, at least 15 minutes, let's talk about how you can tell the difference between these two parties. How what I just said about their philosophies and how they vote and how they take action are very evident about what their intentions are. Every year, each of the political parties decides on a political platform based on what's going on in that current year. And those policies are a little bit informed by the preceding years and then really truly informed by what's currently going on in the present tense. Now, there's a strategy going on that is trying to secure as many votes as possible by starting, in essence, a culture war. And so the Republicans are starting arguments over drag queens reading books to children. Even though the parents chose to bring their children there, they're like, no, we're going to protect the children. I'm putting up hyphens, quote unquote, protect the children. Whenever it's the parents who are like, no, I brought my kid to this book reading, the story time. I knew who was going to be reading the book. I'm perfectly fine with this person reading a book to my child. But the Republicans are like, no, we're going to start an argument over that. And we're going to claim that it's a indoctrination and all this kind of thing, when none of that is actually happening. They get their constituents riled up, believing that there's this grand conspiracy to turn all of the kids into sexual, you know, promiscuous people, that they're trying to turn the kids into, you know, against their own sexuality into being gay. And it's like, either you're gay or you're not. And the gay community knows that and accepts that. And nobody's trying to do that. They're even pitting their constituents against teachers because they're saying that teachers are teaching sexuality and teaching gender discussion in school, and they're not. It's not their place. They're teaching math and reading and writing and history and science. But the Republicans are like, no, I'm going to get my constituents all riled up behind something that's not happening, but they're going to believe it because I said it because I'm a Republican, right? And it's been happening time and time again. So that's the conversation that they throw out there up into the air, right? To get people riled up. And the dangerous side of it that the Republicans are completely at fault for, the dangerous side of that is there's violence happening against the gay community as a result of this. There's threats being given to teachers. There's, you know, gun violence that where a mass shooter goes to a school because he really thinks that these things are happening, you know, and that is the fallout that these Republicans don't think about. Your lie is not only causing people to vote against their best interests. Your lie is creating danger and harm for children and teachers, for the gay community out in the world just living their lives. And also, as we've seen time and time again, consistently, danger for the Black community because of the different types of rhetoric that is put out there. There's also danger for the Hispanic community. Like, if you are a person in any of those communities that I have mentioned, if you're Hispanic, if you're Black, if you're gay, they create danger for those three communities time and time again. They've been doing it for years now, right? They say things that make our group seem like they're horrible, right? They make them seem, and then also if we throw in there anyone who appears to be Muslim or Arabic, and notice I said appears to be, because besides actually being Arabic or Muslim, we've seen people who were from the Sikh religion, who, because Americans don't know a whole lot about other cultures, I'm gonna be honest with y'all, y'all gotta fess up to it. The Sikhs wear a very specific headdress, and some Americans who don't know the difference between the cultures assumed several times over that they were looking at someone who was Arabic, and the person was from India, and from, they weren't Muslim, they were a completely different religion, and they were endangered too. So even if you appear to be like a group that they speak against, you can be shot and killed. There was a serial killer in New Orleans in Metairie who was going around shooting Black and brown men out of his vehicle. He was apprehended, he was arrested, he had white supremacist tattoos on his body. This doesn't get talked about a lot. I'll have to dig up the article again, but this was real. And they tried to pretend that he wasn't targeting Black and brown men, but he was. This is how they tried to get away with it. One of the men happened to be white, but he was with a Hispanic man, and he and the Hispanic man were murdered. Now, if you look at the picture of the supposed white man, he was dark skinned because he was outside all the times. His facial features were not like stereotypical white person. He looked like he might be Hispanic, and he was with a Hispanic man. So this murderer thought he was killing two Hispanic men, right? That is what the Republican rhetoric creates. This person really thought that he was going to continue to go around and shoot at Black and brown men. And I'm saying this because sometimes if the Republicans are going to be in charge of the narrative of a violent story, you might not get told that you're in danger. So we have plenty of examples. I could go on and on and on about how this rhetoric creates harm. But I really want to focus on the voting behavior today, because if you are not voting, trust and believe that the Republicans who believe these lies are going to vote. The way that the Republican Party riles them up is to make them believe that they're in some sort of a righteous war. This is no different than the Crusades. For example, if you know anything about history, in the Crusades, the only way they could get those soldiers out there to go march across thousands of miles to fight this battle was to convince them that it was a holy war, that the Crusade, it was positive, it was all branding. It was nothing more than branding. And they're doing the same thing today to the Republicans. They are getting them to believe that this is a holy war, that this is a war of salvation. They're telling them and riling them up. And they don't realize what the Republicans are really doing. So here's what the Republicans are really doing. And I've had a conversation with a few diehard Republicans recently who were completely unaware of the things that I'm about to say. And you can pull it up. It's on public record. You can pull up voting records. You can pull up policy. You can see exactly what they're supporting. Republicans, time and time again, support deregulation of banks, deregulation of corporations, deregulation of the healthcare market. And this is what that means for you and I as normal everyday people. It means that our health care is going to be limited under Republican decision making, that we're not going to have access to the health care that we need and that we deserve and that we pay for. It means that corporations will be able to create unethical products that can cause danger and even death and get away with it. They're doing things like reducing the ability of our federal agencies that are completely nonpartisan. The federal agencies are not partisan, right? Reducing their ability to regulate goods around the country that keep us safe. Did you know before we had things like the FDA and the EPA that there was no protection to prevent us from eating toxic substances in food because there was no way to regulate it? There was no one who was documenting it, investigating it, none of that stuff, right? So you had no protections in place. And if the Republicans have their way, they will continue to have us all live in a society where they are not controlled, where they are not regulated, and where we are stuck with dangerous products. Formaldehyde was literally in food before we had organizations and like the FDA to make sure that our food and our medication was safe for us. That's what they want. They want deregulation of corporations. They want us to be completely unsafe. They would rather us all just, you know, have early deaths, make as many babies as possible so that they can consume and give them money and not have anything to show for it. To have unhealthy food, to have unsafe products, to have high rates of cancer. And then when you have all the high rates of cancer and the unsafe products and all of that, they don't want to see you have adequate health care to remedy the issues that they created by deregulating corporations. They also want to deregulate corporations so the corporations don't have to pay you that much if you work for them. So they can continue to hoard millions and millions and millions of dollars. And what they tell the Republican Party is that they're trying to save them money when they go to the grocery store. That's not what they're trying to do. They don't want you to have a living wage. They don't want anybody to have a living wage. That includes you. That is not just everybody else. So if they say that they want to deregulate corporations and remove cost protections and remove methods of protecting us from having unsafe food products, that's what they want to do. They want to kill you. They want to kill you. They want to put you in a position to eat unhealthy food, not have health care, not have a living wage. They want you to stay exactly where you are right now. They want this nation to stay exactly where it is. It's the reason why they started branding that whole conversation around the great again conversation, right? They wanted people to stay put. They are touching on that feeling of anxiety of change, right? That's what they harp on. They get their constituents riled up about the gay community, the black community, and the brown community because their goal is to say, you're afraid of change. Look, everything's going to change. If we don't stop them, everything's going to change. That is the underlying message. When they talk about that bullshit white replacement theory, that's what they're talking about. They're envisioning that the goal is to reduce them and increase our numbers. That's what they're envisioning. Nobody's trying to do that. The Democratic Party, the Independent Party, anybody of any type of progressive mindset does not give a damn about the number of white people. What we care about is quality of life so that everybody who is present has the opportunity to live safely and comfortably and have equal access to opportunity. That is what we're aimed at. But they're not going to package it that way because, see, if Republican voters knew that the Democrats and independents and all of the rest of us were here to support them just as much as us, the Republicans know they would have no one voting for them, right? So if you've noticed the last couple of presidential elections, there's certain people who emerge and cause a ruckus. One of them being Kanye, right? You notice it's the presidential election. We haven't heard anything from him, right? There's a reason. He only comes out around election time to start mess, to get people exhausted. Because if they can exhaust you, then you're going to go into crisis mode, you're going to disconnect, and you're not going to vote. But see, what happens is figures like Kanye in that conversation, who gets exhausted? Me and you, the people who care about the future of our nation. We don't want to waste our energy on BS. So people like us get exhausted, and it is people like us who tend to vote less and less when those kind of conversations are so maddening. And now that there's no election right now, you haven't heard from those figures who are meant to drain your mental energy. Because what it is they try to kick up so much dust and so much mud that you can't even see clearly to discern what you should and should not be doing. And so in those circumstances, the best thing to do is just keep still, right? That is the analogy I want you to hold on to. That every election cycle, they're going to kick up so much dust and so much mud in order to cause us to go into that safety mode of it's better to just not move. It's better to just keep still. I can't see what's around me. But here's how you clear the smoke and the dust out of your face. Very clearly. You need to vote for a Democrat. You need to vote for a Democrat that has proven themselves to be a person of action. So, for example, we just had Gary Chambers run for Senate in the state of Louisiana. The only reason why he didn't win is because of all of the ruckus and all of the dust and all of the mud, because there were plenty of black and brown people who did not even vote. That is the reality. Gary still did really good because he still did get, I believe, like 16-17% of the popular vote, even without a broad voter turnout, right? But if he had gotten a broad voter turnout, I have no doubt that he would have won. Someone like Gary Chambers needs to be voted for. And I know for a fact that there were several people who ended up not voting because they were just like, I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to think. Well, vote Democrat. Vote for someone who you've seen presently speaking up in support of the people, right? Don't get bogged down in the BS that comes out of these Republican talking circles. There is no culture war. They're fabricating it. The gay community is not trying to indoctrinate anyone. The black and brown community is not trying to indoctrinate anyone. No one is actually doing any of the negative things that the Republican Party is claiming. We're trying to survive. We're trying to live. When you go out into the world, what do you see? You need to pay attention to what you see. The physical, visible things that you see. As I drive down the street, what am I seeing? I'm seeing people coming and going from work, coming and going from school. I'm seeing people coming and going to grocery stores, libraries, worship services, going to the hospital, going to the doctor's office. I see them going to restaurants. I see them driving on the highway. People are trying to live their life. So you can't fall for the BS and the dust in the face. Vote Democrat and vote, 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 vote. Because what we're seeing in Texas and Florida and Tennessee with these BS legislations that they're putting and getting passed is because people like me and you are not voting often enough. The people who have sanity, the people who want to see everyone do well, the people who want to see the people protected. And by protected, it's very simple to make sure that everyone's treated fairly. Like another thing that's going around, they're claiming that certain people are receiving these mass payments of like $1,400 to $2,000. Nobody's receiving that. That's not real. They're basing it off of a fabricated article that's getting passed around. And all it takes for the Republican people to believe it is for enough of their numbers to say it. And then it becomes real for them. The Republican Party are master manipulators of their people. They figured out how to get them to believe them. So enough of us say the exact same thing. And if you notice, whenever you hear them saying a particular talking point, they all say the exact same thing. Trust and believe, that is very orchestrated. They have an email chain, right? Believe it. They are sending out, because it's the exact same quote, they rarely change anything in it. The reason being, it's like with branding. They understand marketing. They understand branding. And all you got to do is say the slogan often enough, and it's going to stick with people, right? And if you say a phrase often enough, people are going to believe that it's true. Now, there was a psychological study that proved that approximately 10% of the population is actually difficult to convince of a lie. And the rest 90% are going to believe it if they hear it from enough people. They'll believe it. So which one are you? Are you the person who's going to believe the lie because you heard it often enough? Or are you going to be in the 10% who are like, nah, I'm going to believe what I see. I'm going to believe what's real. I'm going to believe the facts. And if you need any guidance on how to access voting records and policy information so that you can get this information and know who's voting for what and who's doing what, just let me know. I'm more than happy to explain. Visit me on Instagram at Realtor4Louisiana. I can send you information on how to search and get access to your state's political records, the actual voting records, what the policy said. There's usually like a policy summary. You know, get educated on it. Going back to speaking about Gary Chambers, he's actually started an initiative like this in the state of Louisiana. It's essentially bringing back the civics classes that a lot of us took in high school and middle school that we don't see in the schools as much anymore. And the whole point of the civics class was to understand how government worked, to understand how to access these things like, you know, voting records. Like, how did my senator vote last year? Like, and what did they vote against and what did they vote in support of? I want to know these things. You know, are they looking out for me? Are they looking out for the little guy? You know, are they really out here for the whole society, or are they just out here for a bank to make some more money and a corporation? And in case you're wondering, before I go, deregulation of banks and corporations is exactly what caused the economic crash that we experienced in 2007 and 2008. It took us until 2010 under President Obama's leadership to turn the economy around. We were seeing the exact same thing in President Trump's time in office. That downturn in the economy started before the pandemic. And you can actually check the Bureau of Labor Statistics to start seeing that. There was a downturn in employment, an increase in unemployment that came before the pandemic even started. Trump had only been in office for about a year before we started to see the decline. The years of Obama from 2010 to 2016, we saw nothing but increase. It took Obama from 08 to 2010 to turn around the economy, and he sustained it through 2016. The impact of the Obama years continued to be a positive indicator up until 2018. And then we start to see a plateau happen, and then it started to go downhill. And then the pandemic happened in 2020, and it made it a little bit worse. So a lot worse. And now, thankfully, under the leadership of President Biden and a lot of other great people, we're seeing some of those numbers turn back into the positive direction. Pay attention to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's a big indicator of how things are really going. Once again, as always, this is the Word of a Rebel podcast. I can always be found on all social media platforms at Realtor4Louisiana. Talk to you guys soon.